This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We listen to Mark Lowry, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun. That's Kirk Franklin.
Consider the source.
Hey.
Consider the source. Consider the source.
Wanna get in the bathtub?
Consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Consider the source.
Something's correct!
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Carolyn. Let's freaking get loud
today. Let's get loud for the Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Let's get loud, America.
This is a request from Caroline from the inauguration, which as this comes out was 8 months ago.
Yeah.
But the Let's Get Loud
years ago.
Is still relevant.
It still hits. It still hits just as hard as the first time.
And that's the chimes of freedom ringing that Bob Dylan was talking about. Is Jennifer Lopez saying, let's
from
get loud.
Sea to shining sea. Loud.
Jennifer Lopez, who our past guest Molly Lambert did point out, sounds like when we were listening to the duet of Elmo and Rosie O'Donnell singing Do You Hear What I Hear, Rosie O'Donnell and Jennifer Lopez's singing voices, not dissimilar. And I urge everyone to do an A-B comparison of those.
Well, I would like that to be a whole segment on this show sometime.
Yeah. Are they Christian? Let's figure it out from their voices.
Do they sound the same?
Let's watch Riding the Bus with My Sister and see if this is offensive to God. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, movies, music, and entertainment made for and made by Christians, but we're not here to make fun of you. No, no, no. We're nice. We're not here to make you go to church either. No, no, no. We're not obnoxious. We're just here to have fun. And to join up in the reunited states of America, as Mr. Bruce Springsteen dubbed our great nation in a Jeep commercial.
That's right. Jeep and Springsteen teamed up for the first time ever to really change the culture. It's working. We're healing now. We all have Jeeps.
When Cars 4 comes out, it'll be, hey, y'all, I'm Bruce Jeepstein. And that'll be the play on his name. Limo Man, well, Miranda, that could be one.
Limo Man.
We can all go around the horn and do our car puns later. But the topic for today's episode is...
Catherine Honda.
What's that? Catherine Honda is very good. Catherine Honda is good.
All right, now we can move on.
That might be a little too Kevin core for the Cars 4 audience to really resonate with.
She's kind of a niche
I'm
actress.
About it. The topic for today is something equally silly. A man, a comedian, a singer, a songwriter named Mark Lowry.
Wow. Yes.
Who is someone we've been circling on the podcast for quite a while.
But we've danced very close to the edge.
We needed a panel that was worthy of the topic, and we finally assembled the panel today. And we're going to introduce our guest right now. Friends and folks, you may know him from his itty-bitty little podcast like Sawbones, The Adventure Zone, Besties, or My Brother, and Me. Folks, give it the hell up for Justin Mackle!
Yeah, baby!
I've
never
did
been
it.
Excited for my Justin. Own arrival, but
hey,
I'm here! Here he
here.
Is! What a thrilling run-up!
Hey, you sound like Amy Adams, circa 2016, excited for her own arrival. You know this song, Justin?
But I know them all.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
This is my brother's first crush, is Amy Grant.
Okay. I mean, yes.
True story.
An evergreen crush to have.
Yeah. I like to think Amy Grant's going to be my last crush that I ever have. You know what I'm saying?
So if you ever find yourself, you have that day where you're looking at a picture of Amy Grant, you're like, hello. Bad news.
Yeah.
Time's running out.
Yeah, but then my heart goes, it's like, I died doing what I love, pining after a woman I'm not good enough for. Justin, thank you for joining us on the show today, sir.
Welcome. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's been a long time coming, right?
Yeah, I guess so, right? Yeah, we've been circling. We had one of your brothers on the show before. Travis has done the show a time or two. What did he do? We talked about McGee and Me a couple years ago.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, do you remember that little skateboarding tiny man?
Demonoid. From a hell dimension.
Evil.
Yeah, I love McGee and Me. It's a classic. Classic. All the focus on the family entertainment holds up and it's still great.
Wholesome.
Still great.
It's good.
I think Adventures, that's my scorching hot take, is Adventures in Aussie does kind of hold up if you don't listen to the super right-wing ones. I do think it's a good experience.
It actually does, yeah. And this is speaking from someone that didn't have like a ton of love for it, you know, initially as a child.
Yeah, and you've been converted to the
I have Odyssey. Been, yeah. And now I'm like, I am Connie. Huh?
I'm a resident. You are Connie, though, and I am Eugene.
And I'm a Samantha.
And you're a bit of a Samantha who has died of COVID in the revival, I think.
That's right.
Right? Well, isn't that the take?
New York City is the fourth character.
Oh, gracious. Justin, what is your background in history with faith and religion? Oh, you're raised with it, right?
So I was absolutely raised in the church, the Highland Baptist Church, which is no longer functioning. It's now a extension of the hospital, one of the hospitals. It was a huge church, though. Big.
Like mega church?
Not mega church levels, like congregation. I think at its peak was like 2,000. I mean, it was a sizable congregation. Yeah. My dad was a deacon and very involved with like the Easter pageant and Christmas shows and stuff. My mom was the secretary.
Easter pageant.
What
was the pageant?
Is that strange? That's usually what they're called. Yeah.
A cantata? Is that
it's Miss Easter?
No,
it was like
a bikini category.
They call it a pageant. Some people call it the cantata. Yes.
This is not a strange term, Caroline. It is called an Easter pageant, I believe.
We had almost exclusively doughy Jesuses, though. So I don't know if it would be anywhere winning any pageants.
Were they doing like the cross at the front?
Okay, so the pageant is this. I'm freaking out right now.
I'm freaking out.
People don't talk about this enough, so you don't know what's weird. No,
but
it's like
I feel like
musical.
I've seen Easter services that are just like, you know, it's where you bring out the big choir and the whole band.
No. At Highland Baptist Church, every Easter, they'd start rehearsing usually around St. Patrick's Day, and it would be a it's like a musical, right, with a script.
Yeah.
Wow.
And songs, you know, they'd work it. Mary, Did You Know In, and other classics, yeah. Gethsemane, and it would hit all the touchstones. You'd watch a man pretend to be crucified live on stage, and then there would be a resurrection with fog machine and lasers and a foam rock rolling out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gorgeous.
This is ringing a bell because I've seen a compilation video of when those have gone wrong.
Yeah, okay.
And the rock falls on Jesus.
I have YouTubes of one of ours, so I'll spread them around. So that was very much it was where I grew up. We went, you know, twice a week, did church camp every summer and super week, they called it. Some occasional weekend retreats. I was pretty involved with all of it until, my mom passed away, and not to bring things down, my mom passed away in 2005. And after that, I really, really lost touch with it. And it brought me, it was very hard. It was a very hard thing to lose, you know. It was a very big part of myself. And I think what was challenging about it for me was, I don't know what tone people normally strike in this segment. I assume it's a
all
wide.
It's exactly this one.
Okay.
Yes. No, feel free to talk about what you want. Yeah. Yeah.
It was very painful, you know, for me to let go of it because it was like a big part of my upbringing and a big part of me, like culturally, you know, as a person. Mm-hmm. And losing, it wasn't like an acrimonious thing. I just stopped going. Right. Mm-hmm. But like losing touch with all that part of me. And then the more I sort of like progressed in my career and became the person I am today, and the more sort of liberal and humanistic I became, the like more estranged I felt from that part of my culture, of my upbringing. You know what I mean? Like so much of it it's not even something where I can like necessarily look back with nostalgia on a lot of it, because I feel like you don't even know what direction some of these people went. It became so fractious and so radioactive that like I don't even feel like it's hard for me to even like own it. You know what I mean? At this point in my life, because it is so sort of toxic for a lot of people, and so damaging for a lot of people, that it's hard to like, I've had to make a lot of distance from it. And that is like, that's tough, because it was a huge part of who I was growing up. Like, you know, I still have those songs in me, you know what I mean? Like I still have the words in there, and it's like, I have no connection. I don't have much of a connection to them. Yeah. And that makes me sad, because I do feel like in my life, I aspire to be, in the pure Latin sense of the word, a Christian, in a little Christ. You know what I mean? Like I like ethically what the cat stands for, and am down with all that, loving your neighbors and stuff. I'm all wild about it. But I have no sort of like religious connection to it at this point. But that is so like, culturally still have a lot of fondness, am still drawn to things that involve ritual, I guess. You know what I mean? I still like that part of me is dormant, but like not extinguished. And I still have a weird fondness for a lot of this stuff, even though it's kind of been colored by the sort of unpleasantness of the past 20 years, however long things have been. They were probably bad before I realized it, but I was in the church.
No, things in the church really started to go bad in 2001, post 9/11.
I got off. Sold at the right time. I should not have held. I sold. I got out. But I do. I mean, I miss it. And it's weird. It's weird because, and the reason why like I'm so excited to do this, and I was excited to revisit this, is because it is so strange to have such a big part of who you are as a person culturally. And like, we have mined every aspect. I do a lot of podcasts. I feel like I've mined every aspect of like secular pop culture that I have been obsessed with. And there's this whole part of me that like, I can't geek out on and talk about, because it would like not be relatable. It's basically a parallel dimension where like, yeah. If I started making references to it, there'd be a few people who would like knowingly chuckle. And a lot of the other people would be like, McGee and who? I don't know. You know, I don't recognize this. Because we had a...
Well, that's why you have to shoot for a small podcast.
You got to hone in.
It's called niche audience.
Well, you selected, right? You've got all the little fragments of everybody else, gathered them into one mass.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you know that the story of Jesus talking to the woman, and then she says, even the dogs eat the scraps. Am I getting this right at all? Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
No, you're
about?
On track. That sounds right.
We're the scraps, is what I'm scraps. Saying. We are the scraps.
We had a...
So eat up, little doggies.
Enjoy your scraps. The way it worked at Hylon was we had a... So there's like a fellowship hall, and there was like a stage at one end, and it was the kind of place where you could like clear it out and play games, or you could have everybody over to eat pot roast that you bought for $3 on Wednesday nights.
Awesome.
And then at the very far end, there was a library where you could go in and like check out Christian books,
yes.
Christian videos, Christian CDs. And yes. We would like absolutely like that was free. Rated. And you were always there. So we would like just rent everything and watch everything. Mm-hmm. And it was like a big part of our growing up. And my brothers still enjoy references to it, but, it not a lot of other people do.
Well, you should give it a try. It might surprise you.
Okay. I'll give it a whirl. Right now.
We'll love Mickey. Yeah. Well, this is a very safe space to do it. But yeah.
This is the last safe space left to do it.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. This is the only place you won't get canceled.
I'm curious to just to go back to something you said earlier when you were talking about you needed to create distance from yourself as you went on and then post 2005 and as your career progressed. I'm wondering exactly how that worked itself out for you in terms of, because some of it you said was not acrimonious. It was just kind of a drift or a fadeaway, even though there was some like pain attached to that. But like, what was the sort of necessary distance that you felt to put between you and the church or that idea of religion?
I think the, the way I was raised and the church I grew up in, there was no room made for doubt. And because of that, doubt had not like entered into my mind until I was like in my early 20s or something. Mm-hmm. And then when it did, it came so fast. Like that loss of like that idea of faith, like it came so fast and hit me so hard that I didn't want to risk going through it again. I mean, I really, that is what it was like, thinking on it. And the pain of that loss of faith was so sort of sharp and so connected to my mom passing away that I just kind of closed it off. You know, I made a separate place for it that I did not frequently return to.
It's I don't know if this is like a crappy metaphor, but it's like it. I think there's a lot of parallels between that and like an old relationship, you know, or an ex that you know is like not healthy to go back to or not the person for you or whatever. But you can't help but like remember why you liked them in the first place or all these like cool touchstones you have in your life now that you can't go back or reminisce with a lot of people with or anybody there, you know, because like you said, it means you might dip your toe back into the pain of like re-entering some of the toxic stuff that came with that relationship too. And that's really hard. It's super hard. Yeah. It's not fair.
It's tough. I miss it. It's because there was like very good stuff that had nothing to do with the faith aspects and the religious aspects, but like also so much ugliness that like I didn't realize until that's the other thing is like the ugliness that I didn't realize was there until I got some distance from it. And we're like, that is not how I feel as a person. Like that's not reflective of who I am or who I want to be or who I want my kids to be or any of that. Like, and the people that I've sort of kept in touch with, rather through like familial obligation or too lazy to mute on Facebook, who have stayed in the church, like most of them I feel like I ain't missing a lot. You know what I mean? Like a lot of it's like, whoa, you are going down some pathways.
Not a lot in that well.
Yeah, right? Like, like, are you telling me that if I had kept with Jesus that I would be against masks at this point? Like, that's the conclusion of the journey? Like, I can't get there with you.
Breath of life, you gotta have it.
Your new place of worship, the Capitol building. Yeah, I think the breakup metaphor is great because, as Justin was talking about, there's things that are still inside me that I have no connection to. That's how you put it. Where it's like you remember the songs or you remember like you can remember these references to like McGee or Mark Lowry or whatever. I do feel that way about, you know, not about there's one person in particular, not a romantic breakup, but a friend of mine who was so influential on me in such a positive way. And we were such, not soulmates, but our souls were so compatible in this like really sort of instinctual way. And there's such a mark he left on me in a good way where ways I'm literally talking right now on this podcast and things in my life and things I think are funny are because of him in some ways. Like some of that is true. And we have no relationship because he was a person that I did, unfortunately, have to draw a boundary with in my life where we couldn't have a good relationship. Someone I still have affection for now and love and have no hate for, but just someone I could not be in a relationship with in a functional way. But I still see all this evidence in my life of how they shaped me in a way. And I think that's what so many of us go through with leaving the church, where it's like there's the trauma stuff that we always talk about and the thing, the purity culture messed me up and it made me hate my body and weird things about hell and obviously like anti-queer rhetoric and racist rhetoric. But then there's also the things where it's like these neutral to positive things are also a part of me, but I cannot have a connection to the source of where they came from.
Right.
And that's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
To like walk around with a ghost, essentially. So,
Holy Ghost.
What's that? A holy, yes, thank you. I'm sorry. Good punch up. Where are you now in terms of like worldview? Do you err more on the side of agnostic?
I tend to focus very much on the
family
here and me and Dobson. He calls me a Dobby, as I call him, which also is doubly problematic at this point.
Dobby. Spankster himself.
Dr. Dobby.
I count myself as a humanist at this point, which even that, talk about how I've had my faith tested twice just this time is my faith in humanity. And since you know, that's, that one's not an easy
guys,
path
really
to walk
all I
either.
Have left,
right.
So please.
Yeah. What's a rebound faith from humanism? I understand right. humanist is a rebound
exactly.
from Christian, but
we're doggists now because dogs are bae.
I guess. Yeah, so I don't. That's the best I got. And a lot of it is honestly, I got two kids and honest to blog, I don't know what I would tell them at this. Like those conversations have started to create, they're six and two. And those conversations they've started to edge into, especially since I accidentally sent our 6 year old to Catholic school for a year.
Hang on. You accidentally sent them.
The old accidental Catholic.
I went to
you
this.
Said,
okay.
Oops, for two semesters.
there were not a lot of options for her age, right? And there was Catholic school that we could send her to for a year.
Yeah.
And when we went in and met with the principal, they're like, the religious thing is like not a thing at her age. Okay. It's basically just like good stuff from the Bible, right?
Nice.
I'm like, okay. The other place we went to was a Christian school, and I saw the kids doing an assignment that was like, why does it rain? And the kids are like, because God made it rain. And then we teach them stuff like that. And I'm like, wait, that's not, we always have clouds. Like, we don't have to, you know what I mean?
Clouds are evolution. I think we can agree.
Anyway, at the Catholic school, they're like, it'll be completely like, it's just like nice stuff. Like the nice teachings from the Bible that you are probably still on board with.
Yes.
Great. I go in for their Christmas party on December 22nd. There's a cake that says, happy birthday, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
It's like, okay, so maybe I would sell a false bill of goods here. Maybe
She's
I did not get
pick
the...
some stuff up.
Picked a few things about her good friend, Jesus, as she referred to him.
She called him my good friend, Jesus.
My good friend, Jesus. She's in public school.
Oh, my gosh.
Now. I have not had those conversations with them. I don't necessarily, because I don't have a lot of good big answers. And I may never. So I try to stay focused on how we treat other people. And if I have a religion or a faith or whatever, that's what it is at this point. It is how do you treat other humans on the planet? And that's as close as I have to it.
Can't go wrong
faith
with that one.
Well, I mean, I don't know. All,
yeah, I think all we're finding out you can.
Let's test the limits.
I might have that thing like, wait, all humans? I don't know. Hold on. Maybe I can.
Hashtag yes, all humans.
That's where I'm at.
Caroline, I'm realizing this is our fourth dad in a row that we've had on the
we're
podcast.
On a real daddy streak right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we're in Daddington Island over
zone.
Here. It's yuck because it was.
Well, my kids are really well versed in The Secret, so I tell them it's basically like The Secret. You know, honey, you know your vision board that you keep up. Yeah, it's law of attraction, sweetheart. It's law of attraction with a little bit more authorial content.
Clickbait article. Justin McElroy says his kids pray to Oprah every night before they go to sleep. Which, you know, would be fine.
Worse options.
I'm sure you can get a Gayle King like Catholic style candle and put it up, and a little rosary with her face on it. That would rule.
Yeah. One of your kids will know what that's all about.
Yes, the dad deadline, the daddy deadline in terms of figuring out how you articulate faith or not faith in your household is
and
real.
Kevin, now that you have several children in your household, how have you encountered this as a father to certain foam and plush sort of children that you have?
I tell them I'm God, and I stick my hand up their ass, and that's the end of the conversation.
And they say, thank you.
I love you, Daddy God.
And
that's
it. It all worked out. You know, there is hope for a secular education for children.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. Well, Justin, thanks for sharing your story with us. That was very generous and sweet.
No problem.
And it was the right tone. Oh, people always ask that, and it's like, this is it. This is the thing. You have to bounce back and forth.
This isn't a funny show.
No,
I didn't
want
to pivot you all into therapy because it's like pretty deep. I don't deal with it a lot. Like and it's weird. You know, you get to a certain age where you're like make peace with the fact that like I'm not gonna fix that one. I'm probably just gonna leave that in the tank. I don't want. I'm not going to put the work in.
We're
I'll just
not
going to
worry about that one. Yeah, we're going to worry about the effects that trauma that might come out.
Yeah,
I know. 2021. That's a big thing for Caroline too. Is her admitting defeat on certain issues, right? Because you said like, oh, I'm not going to improve myself this year. This is not.
Yeah, I was
the
like,
year
this is not the year for self improvement. I'm not going to get any better. I'm just trying to totally make it through. Is sort of how I feel.
Right. Before we take a break, I do just want to point out that it is in Matthew 15. Where Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Send her away, for she keeps us crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep in the house of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
The crumbs.
We're the crumbs.
Crumb cast.
We're the crumb cast. I'm crumby. Abercrombie
finally
Fitch. Okay.
Mascot.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into this rich topic. Come on, let's go. Okay. Now, Stephen... Curtis Chapman, our favorite little Hobbit man in Christian.
There's so many Stephen Curtis Chapman songs that are just that could be perfect there. Like you could literally have just played "Saddle Up Your Horses."
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's how we pin him.
He's just all about getting people amped.
He's all about transitioning spaces.
And this is the greatest segue. Wow.
I will be here when the intro turns to outro. Wow.
Life is a foyer.
Do you have anything to plug? Now, we are familiar, speaking of SCC and Mark Lowry, we are familiar with Mark's parody song of The Great Adventure,
The Date Adventure.
The Date Adventure.
No, I haven't heard
okay.
this one.
And before we get into anything else, I will need to play this, which is, of course, Mark.
I didn't know Mark Lowry was also Weird Al-ing the CCM community.
Look, I found the girl for you this time. Man, you gotta trust me.
This is Stephen Curtis Chapman on the phone with Mark.
He did not find the one.
She has got a great smile. She's got beautiful eyes.
Oh, yeah, well, she got what, an arm, a leg, a head, a neck, the whole package? Are the eyes pointing in the same direction this time?
Mark, come on. It won't be that bad. It'll be an adventure.
Going on a blind date.
It's the date adventure.
Oh, my gosh. She's doing the rodeo stuff and everything.
It's a parody. It's not an inaccurate parody of the SCC music video. He's going to have sex with a cow?
Like a pasture.
It was just as I feared. Said he found my ideal girl. If I could overlook her beard. Another night out with a stranger. I just hope she's of the human race.
By the way, I would date Godzilla in a skirt.
Door, I fall the urge to turn and run. Would this girl be my Cinderella or another Attila? The Hun, I've got another blind date. I'd better close my eyes. Why do all my blind dates attract so many flies?
Okay, I think we get it.
Yeah.
At this point, good Lord.
Oh my God.
Yes. The premise is what if a woman was ugly? I guess is the
Can you imagine?
Of that music video.
There's no one cute enough for him.
Mark, we know Steve Curtis Chapman on the phone. Mark, everyone in the contemporary Christian music world knows what a utter poonhound you are. We've been trying to hook this up for you for years, given your insatiable taste for ass. Lady ass. Now, here's the premise of this song. Oh, boy. So,
oh, no.
Mr. Mark Lowry. By the way, before we get super into Mark Lowry, Justin, you were alluding to other connections to Christian pop culture you had. Like, what else were you listening to? What was, like, the most resonant, like, this is extremely... Justin, little Justin's shit when he's growing up.
Well, okay. There was a period, this was a period before, and part of like, I didn't realize I liked music until I was 16 years old.
What did you think music was ages 1 through 15?
I thought it was contemporary Christian music, right? And like, and Billy Joel and whatever my parents listened to. Then I got into like, They Might Be Giants and other stuff like that when I was like 16, and it really started me on that journey in part of like, oh, there's
all the way to Margaritaville.
Yeah, right. There's all this other culture out there that I'm like not. But at that, like, what was big around my house was like, I was very into. I mean, obviously, I was very into Carmen. I used to like do little performances for myself of.
For yourself.
For myself, like in front of my imaginary audience for Lazarus.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was like fully like at the window, like, Lazarus, come forth. I command you. So a lot of Carmen.
Do you know the riot dance?
No. It was much more vocal artist at that time.
Oh, I see, yes.
Yeah, I didn't get into. So SCC was big around my house. My dad loved Take Six. That was very much his.
Oh yeah.
Shit. I still.
What's Take Six?
Caroline, we talked about Take Six.
You
last
did an episode
year. We did a
about
whole
it.
Episode about it.
I love you.
Caroline's face.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I love you.
It is the a cappella singing group of the black gentlemen who do gorgeous harmonies with each
that
other.
That is it's right. Good. Oh, I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they made a lasting impact.
Big influence on me. Okay, Take Six.
The purity of Caroline's panic.
SCC was big. Carmen was big. All
what
the
about
classics.
W?
W is like for the moms in my book. For like W was like that was like a mom set. My mom was into W. He was from Canova, West Virginia, Spooked which is down. Just like 15 minutes away from us. So
oh
we would
gosh.
See him around.
Really?
Never. No. But he was from West Virginia. He's a West Virginia artist. They were very big into as I got a little older, friends of mine started getting into like alternative Christian rock bands. Mm-hmm. And some of them like started to get pretty big, which was strange. Like one was called 7 Day Jesus, and they're not around anymore. But Bleach was another one.
Yes.
And like a lot of the guys I grew up with, like got very into that scene, like Christian alternative Christian rock. Mm. You know, the same pool that birthed like your, I don't know, Silver Chairs and Lifehouse and stuff like that.
Yeah, we really haven't done alt Christian rock that much on this show. We've really stayed in the mommy and daddy zone. And as far
look
as
into
like
7 Day
based.
Jesus, they got some hard stuff. It's pretty hard edged.
Hard.
And I guess Five Iron Frenzy is like of that right. They're like in that same sub genre, I believe. And then, but those are the biggies. Those are the big ones. There weren't a lot of movies back then. Like that was a little bit before like the targeted, I used to steal, they had a wall of cassettes with inspirational talks on them that I used to steal to make mixtapes. Don't, that doesn't count.
Inspirational mixtapes. So it
you'd
would
wipe the inspiration from them and put some real inspiration.
Yeah, exactly.
My alt rock.
I got the power. Now that gets me pumped to do my walking and jogging. Those are the big ones. And then this was weird. Like Mark Lowry was weird because so we did a lot of like my dad and I would do like a lot of comedy stuff at church, like a lot of skits.
Okay. Yes. Are these originals or were you taking them from a book?
Oh, no, there was a blend. I mean, some of them were originals. Some were like from a book that he got. He would have, you know, they would send these out like, you know, here's some skits that will appeal to the young people these days. A lot of them we just wrote, like we did a lot of like top 10 list kind of things that we would perform on Wednesday nights during the youth service.
Wait, you would do a top 10, like an old David Letterman segment, but for the youth group. And it's like top 10 reasons to love the Lord tonight. Like it would be.
Guys, I had a segment in our Wednesday night youth meetings. I had a segment. Like a 5 minute long
a recurring
like,
set.
A recurring segment where I would have 5 minutes to just do whatever and like and it was whatever like my dad and I had cooked up that week, right? And it was a lot of top 10 lists. There was like I think we did a Mr. Rogers neighborhood parody and it was like all references to like the specific like youth group that I was in. So it was like a pretty easy audience to write for. Cause all you had to do was like reference Justin McDonough and everybody would be like, oh my God, he is just like that. That's exactly how Justin McDonough is.
So it'd be a fake evangelical version of Mr. Rogers, who was a Christian man, but just absolutely roasting
right. Not
people
a stretch.
In the youth group.
That's why now that I think about it, I've never thought about it until this exact moment, but it probably did really help me to shape who I am professionally now because like, you can't scare me. I bombed in front of middle school Christians
every week.
I mean, none of it landed. I would go out and be at stuff that, Oh, I mean, I could, again, easy laughs. Anybody can just get out there and talk about
treasured laughs.
Todd and Justin being like Beavis and Butthead because they're like the bad boys. You know what I mean?
Well, obviously. Yeah. No, I've heard of them.
Like, just reference Todd Gillette and everybody's like, ah, yeah, he is like that. But my high brain stuff, you know, the more thoughtful pieces didn't really connect.
They didn't land.
No. But I thought, you know, Mark Lowry was when I started getting into Weird Al and my parents were a little bit like, hold on. there's some stuff in Weird Al we got to be careful about.
Weird Al's nasty.
What's
to be careful about with Weird Al?
Al has some nihilist streaks. Weird Al though was sort of a good bridge because there was a lot of music that I wasn't allowed to listen to the real version of I was allowed to listen to the Weird Al version of.
Yeah. I do too. I remember
I didn't have Aerosmith CDs, but I had like Living in the Fridge.
Eat it.
Yeah.
A lot of songs about eating. The Phantom Menace parody to American Pie by Don McLean.
Yeah.
Also, because an easy comp would be Mark Lowry is kind of a Christian Weird Al. Weird Al is a Christian man. He is a professed Christian in his own life.
This, really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. He's quiet about it, but he is.
And he is one of these guys. He's one of these. I'm trying to think of who the other comparison would be, but just someone. No one has a bad story. Everyone has overwhelmingly positive stories about Weird Al treating them well and being nice and respectful and abundantly kind in professional and personal context. He's one of those guys. So,
he did a little bit for our short-lived TV show, like where he was performing in Charleston, West Virginia, which is about an hour from where we were filming. And he let us come up there and film a little bit with him for our TV show. Just like, and super nice, super professional, really kind person.
Good dude.
By all accounts.
See,
a real Mitch.
Now, I don't know what the word on the street is about Mark Lowry in terms of personal and professional context.
No idea. But you know what? Here's what I will say about Mark Lowry as a way of easing into remotely controlled. I'll tell you, I've been revisiting a lot of Mark Lowry stuff in the past week preparing for this. The guy's talented. I mean, I don't know how to. There's no way to sugarcoat it.
I know.
The man is talented.
I know. He was testing me. He was testing me.
He's got a great voice. He's written some real classics, most notably to most of the people on here, Mary, Did You Know, which is massive and beautiful. If I could say that.
Wow. No, it's beautiful.
Beautiful. He wrote that. He was called up by Bill Gaither to join the Gaither Vocal Band. You can invite to Gaither Vocal Band. Are you Sandy Patty?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, he discovered all those people. You don't get called up to the Gaither Vocal Band if you don't have
it. The Gaither Vocal Band is the Avengers of gospel music. They don't just let anyone
in. It is.
It's also like the Avengers of gospel music in that I believe Mr. Gaither is about to Iron Man at the end of Endgame out pretty soon. I mean, he is 85.
Oh, no.
Some
of the stand-up, which he did a lot of stand-up, a lot of it was funny.
Okay, yes. And just to give a little...
It was hateful. And the parts that weren't... I don't find funny anymore. But the not hateful stuff, he gets like kind of catty about the Christian music industry sometimes.
Yes.
And it is like... It's here. I actually pulled up a clip.
Oh,
I can play on my phone.
Oh my God! Please,
if you'd like, I've got my phone connected via Bluetooth.
Yes, pulled a clip.
Okay.
Oh my! I love this.
Right.
Kevin's over the moon.
Man, he's written all these great songs. And when I first joined the group, you know, I thought he must be perfect.
He's talking about Bill Gaither.
For it, he touched me. The king is coming. Joy comes in the morning. He's got a bus, big old bus. He owns his bus because he wrote "He Touched Me." I wrote "Big Booger Blues." That won't get you a bus. No, I didn't really write Big Booger Blues, but I would have if I'd have thought of it. But he's got a great bus. In the back of his bus, he's got a bedroom where he and Gloria sleep. While the rest of us are in bunks piled on top of each other, they've got a bedroom because he wrote "He Touched Me." And they got two beds back there, kind of a Ricky and Lucy thing going on, if you ask me.
Couldn't believe
but you didn't hear that from me.
So anyway, this gospel legend that employs me, I don't think him and his wife smash anymore. And I'd like to call that out on stage
on
in front of this
tour
church.
Bus. Like, I don't know if I blame her, honestly.
That story, that bit concludes with him talking about how Bill Gaither sleeps under a big pile of pillows.
Yeah.
So he's not perfect.
Like a dog.
He's weird. He sleeps under a big pile of pillows. It's pretty funny. A lot of it is like not great. There's a lot of stuff about like how cool it is to be your children and how you're like not really getting parented if you're not getting regularly.
Yes.
Whooped.
That's, you know, yeah, a straight line from our favorite house elf of evangelical influence, Dobby. That was a big Dobby
right
thing.
That's Dobby core right there.
That's pure Dobby core.
Whoop them into joy.
But just to back it up and give a little background, we were talking about the album / video Remotely Controlled today, which is a pastiche.
I had forgotten it was a video until I started listening to it on Spotify, and I'm like, this is demented. There is no way this is right. Because there's just like long sections where they're not taught. Like, find it on Spotify. It's just a rip of a video, and there's like long segments where like, this is clearly a visual part. I was like, oh, there must. That's right. There's a video component. Yes, I forgot.
You can watch it on YouTube now. Mark Lowry's background himself, he was born in Houston, Texas. And he grew up as like a little musical theater kid. He wanted to do Broadway stuff, and he sang and he did singing competitions.
He would have been great at Broadway.
He got a little record deal. Of course, because he's a whole ham sandwich. And he got a little record deal.
Did a Broadway album.
Yes, he did. Yes, Mark Lowry on Broadway, but it wasn't actually on Broadway. And we did have that album in our household. And my connection to it is because my mom was super into Gaither Vocal Band stuff. So... And yes, he does sound good in Gaither Vocal Band for like a gospel quartet or quintet or whatever it is now is, quality stuff as far as that goes.
He didn't sound like him and Gaither Band had like kind of a symbiotic relationship. Like he started with the band, and then that's also how he started to get to do stand-up, and now he does stand-up to open for the band, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. Like they're in the back of the bus together, et cetera. Like they're tight.
I did read the entirety of his cover story in CCM Magazine, in which he is posed as a sort of bizarro Carmen from Riot. Yeah. And he talked about he wanted to sing so much. He just wanted to do songs. But then he felt he was really gifted at communication. People would LOL a lot when he would do his talks and his evangelism stuff. He graduated from Liberty University, just like our three favorite boys. DC Talk and then Jerry Falwell and Jerry Falwell Jr. But in the interview in the magazine, he's like, well, I guess you gotta dance with the one that brought you. And basically, I'd rather be singing constantly, but people laugh when I talk.
Oh my god.
So I guess I'm doing that instead. And so he does
a reluctant clown. Like all of us.
Yes, and if you notice on this album, there's how many songs total? Like three?
So
four?
Many goddamn songs.
Yes, and...
There's a whole medley at the end.
Well, there...
but it's mainly like these just comedy bits. I mean, there's a real like back and forth, especially like you can get this by scrolling through his Spotify history, mm-hmm, and like there's a real... Like, it seems to be almost somebody at odds with themselves, like, about, like, whether or not they're being funny at that moment. Like, yeah, he's got an album called Just Singing, No Kidding. Like, this one is just the... There's no comedy on this one.
Stop
it's
laughing.
Just the singing parts.
I'm singing now.
He has an album in a tribute to Miss Jennifer Lopez called Life Gets Loud. That is true. He does have that. And so, yes, he's a little bit all
So, Justin,
over.
Did you, like, listen to this album growing up? At all, or did
yeah,
you watch a video
for, sure.
for it?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. We watched the video. I'm sure we checked it out. And would because like some of this stuff, like a lot of the Christian stuff, is like so. We talk about the fun stuff. A lot of it's so mindless that like the idea that it would appeal to children is like honestly kind of baffling.
Or the comedy is so bland, or like so safe that it's like for a baby.
Mm-hmm. And I think at this point in my life, the song Hyperactivity, which was the video I sent to you, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
Was like, it resonated just because obviously at this point where I'm at my life, it's not like the most incredible concept. But to me as a young person, this idea of like somebody who was involved with the church, but also wasn't like well behaved, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and it reads extremely lame now, but the idea that you could be like kind of annoying and kind of like a creative person and kind of somebody who's, he feels like there's something to Mark Lowry where he feels like he is pushing at the boundaries of what he is allowed to do and still be the person that he is, right? And yes. And you see that with some, there's people like, you know, I used to get this from Tony Campolo, if you guys are in, like, he's a preacher.
Yes, who and he used to, he hosts a show with Mark Lowry sometimes, actually.
Oh, that makes, that actually tracks. Yeah. Where it's like this, you could tell there's like some things that they, as human beings, they would like to say that they mm-hmm. don't, mm. but like it would not be good for them like professionally. And I feel like you feel that conflict with Mark Lowry sometimes. Yes. And it feels a little, like the slightest bit dangerous. Like in the bit we just played, right? Kind of dunking on Bill Gaither a little bit, like you're yes. allowed to do that a little bit. Like, I don't know, there was something very appealing about like that to me.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking too much. No, I saw Mark Lowry perform in concert.
Please.
And I have say two. I have more. Two anecdotes about that. Saw him at the Charleston. Yes. Saw him at the Charleston Civic Arena. It's right next to the Charleston Town Center. Saw Mark Lowry. Two things to note. One, he comes on to Hyperactivity.
Opens with that.
Opens with it, babe. Got it. Yeah, absolutely. Got to open strong. He opens with Hyperactivity. I'm leaning out. I'd never been to a concert before. No, except for Sharon Lois and Bram. Second concert. I'm leaning out, cheering. I'm sitting down cheering. When it starts. People tell me I need to stand up because it's a concert. Imagine.
Wait, Justin, how old are you?
Probably 11. I mean, 12.
Hell yeah.
When did this album come out?
This came out in 1996, I believe.
Okay, I so I was, well, then I was like 16. God, I was lame. But I was sitting down, and then
you
I have
said this, 11.
I have this exact clear memory of my the chaperone who brought my youth group look at me while I was sitting, and she told me to stand up. It's a rock show. So I did. I stand up. I'm cheering for Mark Lowry. It's Mark Lowry, a guy I've seen a video of before. He comes out. He's probably the first famous person I've ever saw in my life. Comes out, and I'm wearing an Atlanta Falcons cap because at the time, I liked their logo. I had to cross. This is how I picked my favorite football team.
You're a design lover.
The
you
boys
like
in home ec had to cross stitch an emblem from their favorite NFL team, and I didn't have one, so I picked the Falcons because I like that logo. It's cool. It's a cool bird.
Yes.
But I was wearing an Atlanta Falcons hat. He stole my Atlanta Falcons hat off me. Had prime seats.
Yeah,
he stole my Atlanta Falcons hat off me.
Someone
he's
was
like running out through
ballin'.
The crowd. Right. Reaches out, grabs my hat. He's like, "Give me that." Puts it on his head. And then, like, he sings for a while, and he's running away. And in my head, I'm like, I'm not swept up in the moment. He's not Dave Grohl. I'm thinking, like, where's my hat? Hey, Mark, can you bring my hat back, please? That would be so primo.
So for you, it wasn't like, you know, oh, I'm going to throw my bra on stage.
No, it was like, that adult man stole my hat.
I made that hat.
And he goes, and he runs. He's, like, singing. And then, like, in another bout of hyperactivity, he takes off my hat and chucks it into the crowd. Like, so far away. Like, I'll never get that hat back. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, my hair looks terrible. I have terrible hat hair. Man. This grown man has been on stage for 30 seconds, already made an interview of me, and stole my hat.
And does, like, a drive-by bullying stunt as his opener.
It was like, I got 30 seconds. I'm going to bully McElroy real quick. I'll bully the chubby kid. He doesn't look like he's getting enough of it at school.
He was so excited to support his rock music.
Yeah.
You were up. You were dancing.
I was dancing. I was in the moment. So that was demented. And then after he takes a break in the middle, and he comes out and has like this big box, and he goes through, I kid you not, y'all, every piece of merchandise that is available outside at the table.
No.
Item by item.
He
goes through, spends 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Going item by item. The different things he's got available, the Mark Lowry hat, the Mark Lowry t-shirt, the Mark Lowry CD.
Was it funny?
He was trying to make it a joke, but like also they were for sale. Like this is, you know, if you think it's funny that I'm doing this, he's making a joke out of it. Like, can you believe I am?
Yeah.
And then by minute 15, we're all like, definitely we can believe it. It's been going on.
We're in it.
A very long time.
Oh, lapel pin. Yeah. He does like five men on each item. I don't know how much you're milking from an 18 by 20
for someone who quality. Also is self-aware and makes fun of infomercials to do a full one in the middle of his concert is
I'm
real
I'm saying
bold.
It's brave. I well, respect it.
That's what's brave. So interesting about what stuck out to me on this album, which like we said before, is like a couple of songs, maybe a handful of songs, and then mostly just sketches and skits. And the setup is he's like flipping through the channels, watching his own set from the night before, in which he's crushing, and then like flipping through the channels and watching infomercials of Carmen selling his own face on plates and Bill Gaither.
Which is funny.
Which is funny.
The idea of like you get Carmen for an afternoon, you're like, so the bit is you're here selling Carmen commemorative plates.
Plates of your face.
It's not not funny. That's what's
interesting. It's not funny. It's good. If I had Carmen, I'd do the same thing.
But the infomercial, the televangelist, the annoying stand-up guy, which was my favorite part.
I liked it too.
I want to play just a little bit of it.
Please, yes.
Quite frankly, when I take the bus into town, and when I have to stand up, has anyone had that experience? Standing up on the bus? Okay. More peanuts down here? Could we get some more refreshments?
I think that's funny.
It's funny. It is funny.
So but this is so good.
In all these instances, it is like the infomercial, the televangelist character, the stand-up guy. It's self-effacing in a way that's almost preemptive to these are things that could be thrown and labeled onto Mr. Lowry himself.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he's answering the question before you can even ask it of like, yeah, I know. It's an interesting...
And he does like a corny singer too, doesn't he?
Yes, exactly.
And then, like, a really disgusting man that no one wants to be with, I guess, is another bit that, like,
he apparently
like,
is a classic
feeling
his.
He's related
an old person.
To.
Yeah, there's
old
some,
person.
There's like bad. Some of the stand up is basically if Jim Gaffigan was a little bit meaner, because it's like, I love food. Also, people are overweight and disgusting, but they're
like, I love it.
Ask them where the Mexican food is. Like, very strange stuff that obviously doesn't age that well. But
was very. I mean, like before we hit too hard on Mark, was like very much of a time, like mid-90s. This was, I think, we have moved quite a bit. I don't know if he would be pulling the same gags now.
I
say that as someone who in 96 probably had his own
movement.
Not great material. It's interesting is that I think something else that is appealing to me about that is that one of the things I like about Mark Lowry and appreciate as I go back is like there is a real self-deprecation that seems like that is... It can almost border on self-loathing sometimes. Like it feels that way a little bit to me, but... Mm-hmm. There is something about that I very much associate with a kind of like Christianity that I did not see growing up, right? Almost everybody that we had in speaking to us and preaching to us and teaching to us were very much held up as like examples to us, right?
Yeah.
Like this is a person who's like got his whole life together and he's figuring it out and he's
consistent in his values all the time. Yeah.
And there's something that's very appealing about the idea of this person who's just like, no, I'm kind of a dirtbag a little bit. I mean, it's funny, but like, I'm that idea of like, no, I'm an absolute mess and God still loves me was very affecting to me at that time. Like that idea was like very profound.
And I'm currently a mess. Not like I was a mess and now that God is with me, I'm perfect now.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. Like I'm still a mess. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's really annoying.
And emphasizing the God likes you stuff, I did think was an interesting point in one of his little stand-up evangelical bits where he's talking about, yes, not the idea of like God loves you. Of course, God loves you. God loves everybody. But like God likes you. God likes the person that you are, which I think... In those sorts of contexts, isn't quite as emphasized or underlined.
No, he was talking about like you know also like a mental health issue that he has. You know, I don't know if you count that as it. I don't know if they call it hyperactivity anymore, but like he was going through something that he couldn't help, and he says in his show like I couldn't help that. You know, and like the people were really hard on me for it, or like hurt, like physically hurt him because of it, and he could. I don't know. He could have fallen into a trap. A lot of Christians did of like, I prayed and God gave me peace and I calmed down or whatever. Mm-hmm. And instead he was like, no, the world needed to adjust to me, you know, and like I'm good and I'm normal. And
or as he says in the song Hyperactivity, it's not my fault. The world's not keeping up with me.
Yeah. Yeah, which I thought was like weirdly, I don't know, like kind of cool for him to do. And because he can be pretty hateful a lot of the time, and I was surprised.
Sure.
Like, he can also be so like open.
The word hyper is such a mid-90s to like in like early aughts. Oh, this kid is hyper. Like, although, Justin, I would love if you went to the stage show of In and of Itself and you took one of the cards and it says, I am hyperactive. And then he calls you that thing. And be, just crying. And just saying,
I have long thought, and it seems attainable now. I've long thought about trying to launch a like episodic serial style podcast just about me trying to get my hat back from Mark Lowry. I feel like I could get it done at this point. Like,
brother, this is the pilot episode. We're recording.
Had an equal value.
Yeah.
And then the final episode is you confronting
him. I know he doesn't have it. Yeah, I know he doesn't have it. Yeah, it's like Dead Eyes, except a very attainable target that I could probably get on the phone with not too much work.
Yeah.
You could find out pretty quickly.
The Tom Hanks of CCM is Mark Lowry, of course. Yeah. Yes, that's the comp. Gracious, I know. I've watched some like later video chats and interviews he's done. He's very active on social media. He'll do little sing-alongs on Sunday where it's him in a Zoom background in a church just singing gospel songs a cappella on his Facebook.
And he has to sing. He insists.
You know, and this ties back to another figure subject that we've covered on this show, which I think it would be okay and appropriate to talk about Mr. Lowry's dating life for a second, because he's a single man currently at age, how old is he now? 60 something.
He's in his 60s. Yeah.
He's in his
60s. 69, I think.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is episode 169 of GCF. How about that?
Nice.
Hey, nice. Hey,
very nice to everybody.
It's been a really nice time with you.
What a nice time. But he hasn't been linked publicly with that many people in terms of romantically. But there's one woman he has been linked to, and that's Miss Shonda Pierce, who is another Christian stand-up. Whose husband, of course, tragically passed away a few years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And her and Lowry have toured together and seem to be friends. And they did briefly date, at least a little bit, in 2015. And you can see the proof of this because there's pictures.
There's photos.
She tweeted
about it like a couple times. She's like, my friend set me up. I'm going to see the very handsome Mark Lowry.
I mean, this
cute. It also kind of trips me out because she looks a lot like my mom.
Yes,
so I don't like seeing her smooch this man.
This says, okay, this says that they went on a date in 2015. It also says here that he was 56 at the time. So no, Mark Lowry is not 69. He must be, what, 60?
Wait, no, because he is like,
something like that.
He was born like a couple years before my parents.
So he's
like,
62.
Yeah.
He is 1958, so he's 62.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It's also funny that they got together because I feel like Shonda and Mark also now are in the same like category in my mind, which is like I went in with a lot of prejudice about them because they have a lot of bad beliefs, but also like I could not help but be charmed and endeared to them because they're just like pretty funny and like good at what they do.
I'm gonna posit that there's something a little more interesting about Mark in this sense though, because Shonda, I don't know if you've heard Shonda's work before, Justin.
You know what? That's one I completely missed.
Yeah.
I feel like she was like a little later in life, maybe.
I don't know if like 15-year-old boys in Virginia would have loved Shonda Pierce.
We're on the Shonda train. Yeah.
Choo-choo. All aboard, y'all. But but she, like Mark is playing a different game than she is on social media. Mark's is pretty, at least from everything I've seen, because all I've done is just check the last couple months, pretty apolitical, and I'm sure there's like dog whistles and stuff, where Shonda's like, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is running. I love this woman. She is a God-fearing woman. God. Let's vote her in, baby.
Shonda, take
the election steal back. Like, she is loudly and incredibly conservative.
I went back, because I had to know, I went back and looked through his Twitter history. At like November 3rd, basically around November 3rd. My man did not tweet at all.
He stayed out of the game.
And I feel like that is in this day and age, that is actually like the loudest possible thing you could do. It's just like, nope, absolutely not weighing in one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Cause like, I feel like for a Christian artist, like That's pretty, I mean, that's as close maybe as we're going to get to you.
I don't know,
really,
yeah, or we got to go back to 2016, November, and see if he posted anything.
Enhance, hold on.
Siri, quick. Zoom in.
Stefan, pull that up. Thank you.
That is interesting. Well, you know what? I will say, is he the Christian Dax Shepard, who was also silent on November 2020, famously.
He was not silent. He just posted about going on motorcycles with his daughters, which is different.
Okay, I will say. But silent about the election, at least.
T-shirt that he is wearing in his most recent streaming things, it says hashtag no room for hate, which makes me feel, and there's a lot of no room for hate merchandise.
Now that is very intriguing.
It's very intriguing, right? But what does that mean? I don't know.
Well, and Tony Campolo, here's the other thing. We're getting so red yarn in Homeland right now.
I love it.
Tony Campolo is someone who had anti-LGBTQ beliefs and has now recanted them and is affirming of queer people in the church and does not believe.
Wait, but what does that have to do with Mark?
So Tony Campolo hosts a show with Mark Lowry.
Oh.
Like, or they did host a radio show together. I don't know if they still do. But
you're saying by association.
I'm saying by, yes, Red Letter Christians TV show with Campolo in 20, well, this Mark was 10 years ago. I'm not sure what the, but at least there's people in the orbit, in the circle at least.
Yeah.
That maybe,
I do think it is significant that he has something that said no room for hate, because I feel like there's just not really an evangelical Christian campaign that is talking about hate in that way, you know? So,
Well, they were doing, okay, so Tony Campolo did have a stroke recently. That's very sad. He had a stroke and he's in rehab, physical rehab. But they seem to have a friendship still. I know, it's just, it's we're looking for all the clues.
We're really stretching.
Yeah, we're looking.
You know, it's like the Kevin, snowman. When I was watching this too, I had a thought that I thought you would enjoy. It was like, I feel like Mark Lowry could have been his generation's Paul Lynde. You know, like he could have been that guy.
Oh, Paul Lynde.
Like he's a singer. He's so corny. He loves TV. He's kind of like, you know, he's witty. He's a little sharp. He's a little dangerous, but you know, he's fun.
And he's a ham sandwich. He could have been.
He's a ham and a half.
Okay. And you're saying he could have been his generation's Paul Lynde.
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin just winked. It doesn't play great on a podcast. But.
Yeah.
Michael Tate also graduated from Liberty University. Anyway.
Just going to release him.
Yes, I know what you're saying. And it is so, gosh, these music videos are so, I mean, it feels reductive
You have to go track down. It's hard to figure out what is like of a time and what is just like bad. Just like bad because in the Hyperactivity video, the first thing that happens, the first thing is you see a white guy in a huge sombrero that says uno, dos, tres, cuatro. And it's like, you have done this from the little opening frames of your video. You have like already messed up pretty bad. It does not get better.
Wasn't necessary either.
Didn't need to. Nobody was demanding it.
Why? I totally forgot about this. Who is this even?
There's also some other questionable racial choices in the videos, obviously. Hold it.
Okay, oh, then he's in a straight jacket. That's
a music
great.
Video in a row. Not cool. Straight jacket.
So yeah, a lot of straight jacket stuff lately.
And then they have a pan and he transforms into a zoot suit, which I would argue is problematic just in and of itself. I feel like a zoot suit is probably like you shouldn't be allowed to wear a zoot suit. I feel like that's like
no, yeah.
There's a man in a fez, not great.
Mark Lowry's name is Dolomite. You know what? The mask had just come out.
I feel like, this is like a Jim Carrey sort of vibe. Yeah. Is what he's going for. It's like this guy is larger than life. He is zany. He is too much, you know?
You want these gentlemen to thrive in whatever their vocation is, I suppose. Also,
I think that was my favorite music video.
Found another clue. March 3rd, 2020, Mark Lowry wears an I voted sticker on his Instagram.
He just says, did you vote?
Did you vote? I did.
Wait, did he respond to any comments?
Ooh, that'd be interesting. I bet not. Kathy Mia Combs says, you're so cute.
Kathy shooting her shot.
I love you, Mark.
Go for it.
Hashtag melty buttered toast. Oh my God. Oh, this is
happening.
I'm sure this is a strong contingent of his audience, is people who want to date him. As is a strong contingent of our audience.
They want to get in back of that Gaither bus.
That's right. Yeah.
They want to blame him. Tear down that Lucy Ricky wall, if you will. Oh, boy.
Guys, every image on here is a journey.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, every image of Mark Lowry is like...
On the Instagram?
It's something. Yeah, the gram for Kevin is like, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Remember when he sang the entire Flintstones theme song? Even though everybody else just got a snippet, he went for the whole song.
That ruled. I thought that was cool. Yeah. And now we're going to debut a segment on GCF where we sing every TV theme song we can think of until we run out. Starting with me. Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Okay, Caroline has chosen to sing a theme song without words, the Succession song, theme song by Nicholas Patel.
I got a few more minutes to go.
Oh, boy. Yes, yeah. I know. It's interesting. Yes, okay. Here's him posting pictures about Corona on his Instagram. Okay, we could do this all day.
He's wearing a mask in a lot of these pictures, which is a good, okay, that we're also piecing together the pieces.
Something. It's crazy how much that says.
We are just math-lating it up. Oh, you know what? You know, speaking of more sitcom connections, here's him. It's a picture of him and some friends with a picture of Lisa Welchel, a.k.a. Blair Warner from The Facts of Life.
Okay.
We all remember and we love, and truly Blair Warner and Tootie and Joe and Natalie were on the cover of my binder when I was 10 years old going to Christian school. Facts of Life was my favorite TV show of all time.
And you were 10?
Yes.
Kevin.
And there he is with
them.
But yes, we could. Yes, I do want to spotlight the.
You were four men living all together, yet they were bored to the bone.
Why did he change the lyrics to that? Because the lyric is, but. There's four men living all together, and I think it's, but they were all alone. Right?
Yeah.
And then he said, but they were bored to the bone. So I'm trying to figure out what the...
I don't know. Maybe his whole thing is about boredom, you know?
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
What's the implication that would be negative of them being all alone as four men? I don't understand. I don't know. Mm. And so, yes, there is a 5-minute... medley.
This is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream.
And the thing is, there's no, I guess there's like a thematic of this is remotely controlled. We're flipping through TV, but it is just, here's some songs.
He gets to flex. Okay, this is the other thing that I thought was kind of like interesting too, and boundary pushing, is I feel like most Christian comedy or like figures couldn't acknowledge that they were consuming secular popular culture, and he is like, I'm going to make a whole big part of my show about all the TV that all of us watch.
Yes.
That is not Christian, and the audience was singing along. That seemed like a nice release for all those white people in the audience.
Oh yeah,
it does feel like that a callback though. Like that's a very common trope you see, is like, TV isn't like TV was when we were all, what I mean?
Right,
you know,
it is. It was, none of it was current TV.
Yeah. It wasn't like he was singing the theme song to Melrose Place or something.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
MTV, that's true.
I thought maybe he was going for the, I saw a couple of different dudes with guitars, which was a staple of any Christian youth camp. There was had to be a dude with a guitar who was like leading the music.
Can't work without him.
They used to do a lot of Amazing Grace to the tune of Gilligan's Island. That was a very big
cool.
You guys ever heard that one?
No.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Don't know why it works. Just works. The whole song works like that. We had one of those. You want to hear a weird memory? It just popped up.
Please.
Yeah. I feel like I've unlocked this like weird section of my brain.
Let it gush.
Carl Carty was the name of one of those dudes with a guitar. Don't know if Carl's still in the game. He was a young man. And Carl, in much the same way that a lot of people did, like Carl stayed at our house after, like, overnight before he got his flight back to his home, wherever it was. And after he performed it super weak, he, like, stayed at our house, which made me feel like, you know, coolest guy.
Very cool.
In the world. Like, Carl Carti is staying at our house close after he performed quarters. At live, hot from his, fresh off his performance at Super Week. Carl Carti is staying at my house. I woke up, and it would have been summer of 96. So right around the time that I probably saw Mark Lowry perform, Carl Carti, I came downstairs, and Carl Carti was watching television, drinking a huge glass of orange juice, and the bombings at the Summer Games had just happened.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, Carl Carti, come downstairs. Carl Carti, huge glass of orange juice, glued to the news. And it's like, did you hear what happened? I'm like, are you Carl Carti? What are you doing in my house? And like, I just sat there with this dude trying to make sense of the world. And I have a very clear memory of him looking very lost. He was from that area. And I have a very clear memory of him looking really like, what is happening and how,
like,
could this
literally
happen?
Lost or like
not like no
lost?
But just sort of like, how do I react to this, like, what is happening, how do I react to this? And I can remember as a teenager, like, it was a very big deal to me, because it's like, you don't have it figured.
Yeah,
I thought you would have this figured out. It's that idea of like seeing an adult who doesn't know, mm-hmm.
like, can't,
it's
handle,
like, when you
something.
Realize that adults don't have all the answers, right? And yeah. And he didn't have an answer to this, and I can remember seeing it in his eyes. Like, I could tell, like, you don't know what's happening, you don't know how to react to it, like, and you're the youth you're like a youth pastor, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was very,
yeah,
I don't know, it's formative.
Well, and that's why I think it's really important, especially in 2021, that we now have a president who looks lost constantly.
It's relatable. We can finally understand each other.
Yes. He looks a little adrift every time.
I would like the idea, just so that you're like, hey, Carl, can I show you some of my five from this week?
I got a tight five.
I got a five now, that I'm working
you're gonna
on.
You're
going to
hear some stuff about Justin McDonnie and Todd Gillette that you're not going to get. It's not going to resonate
with you.
Just know
that
they're
a couple bad boys, and that's all you need to know.
They're bad boys. To start off, they're bad boys.
They're bad boys.
And he's like, yeah, we know the type.
Okay. And then finally, maybe just to wrap up the conversation on this album, there at the end, and Justin, I guess you re-listened to it, but in the video, it's the video outtakes. At the end of the album, there are outtakes from them filming the whole thing.
Completely normal thing to put on an album.
Yeah, I guess, sure.
Outtakes from a video.
And there's one outtake that kind of blew my mind. I don't know. This is 1996. Here's Mark Lowry and Carmen cracking it up.
Carmen looks so good at this time.
They look freaking so handsome.
So hot. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Slipping on
he
my
wants a riot.
Seat.
I want a riot. I'll take a riot over here, please. I'll have a righteous invasion of truth. Yes, please.
Righteous invasion of Tang.
Invade
okay?
these shorts.
Okay. And then there's like a montage in this video / album of news reports, and there's aliens coming, and then there's breaking news, and it's more bad news. So anyway, what we're about to listen to is one of the news commentators who is black, and that is important for the context of the next outtake. And here's what he says in his outtake.
Now, back to you, Mark Furman.
Back to you, Mark Furman.
Now, kids, you're going to need a little bit of... Hold on.
Justin, wait, do you want to break this down for us millennials? Yet.
So, Mark Furman was the racist cop in... He was the O.J. Simpson guy?
Yes.
Or he was the Ronnie King guy?
He was O.J. Simpson guy.
O.J. Simpson guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was not great.
He was
Mark
the one
Furman.
That, like,
he was a bad dude.
Who would, like, say the N-word and stuff.
He was both guys. Yeah. Those were both.
Both okay. of those guys okay, were cool. Mark Furman. He was a bad dude.
Whoa. Why would he say that?
Why would the commentator say that?
Yeah.
Because his name's Mark Lowry, OJ's all over the news in 1996, and it probably just popped in his head, back to you, Mark Furman.
Damn.
It would be like, I don't know, what would be the equivalent today? Back to you, Adnan Syed. I mean, not the same thing at all. I'm just thinking of a true crime.
Adnan Syed.
Mark Furman, because he was a racist, if I'm remembering this correctly, yes, there was a theory that he planted evidence and because he wanted to pin it on OJ.
That's right.
Because he was a huge racist, and that doubt that he introduced helped to get OJ Simpson off.
Right. Yes.
If I'm remembering this extremely old event correctly.
Yeah. And I only remember this because of that FX Ryan Murphy series, The People versus Blow J. Simpson, is because he was a character in it. And yes, he was very racist. And there's audio tape of him using that racial slur, which like totally effed up the case in a lot of ways. And yes, he most likely did plant at least some evidence.
Mark Lowry was part of the moment.
So Mark Lowry's like, gotta put this in the outtakes of my
too relevant. It goes to the outtakes.
Terrific. Lord. Yes. And puts it in
the
another
same
time.
One where I sang Mary Did You Know for a full 5 minutes.
Mary Did You Know that OJ.
I truly didn't put it together that he was the guy that wrote that song until I was watching this, because I'm sure you've said that to me, and then I'd like forget who Mark Lowry is, because that's just, you know, how I do this whole thing.
That's kind of your style.
Sort of my special spin on being a host of this show. But anyway, so he did sing it, I was just like, oh yeah, he wrote this. That's so insane.
I bet Mark Lowry, all other work that Mark Lowry has ever done, like, I bet he does not need, I bet Mary Did You Know makes it so that he does not need to work, right? Like, there's no way that dude is, you write a big Christmas song, everybody has to include it in everything. Isn't that, about a boy.
It's been covered by like big artists.
Everybody,
too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. About a boy, that main character's dad wrote a big Christmas hit and he doesn't have to work. So I assume that's basically a documentary.
That's kind of the cash flow that Mark has.
Been covered by Clay Aiken, CeeLo Green, Kenny Rogers, Reba McEntire, Winona Judd, Natalie Cole.
Dolly did it, I know.
Wait, did Dolly?
Wow.
It was on his Insta. It's on Mark Lowry's Instagram that I look at sometimes.
Now, friends, listeners, if you can find the Mark Lowry Finsta, that's going to be a boon.
That's going to help
us
out.
Who knows what's on there? Mark Lowry Finsta Green Circle, what is popping on that? I would love to know.
Be his close friend.
Okay, well, I think it's time to rate this album. The way this works, Justin, is we're going to give this a holy roast or a holy toast or a space between. Holy toast is us giving it a thumbs up. That's when we send Mark and all these songs all the way to heaven. There's his Liberty University alumni. Or a holy roast, thumbs down. That's when we send it. Or if we don't want to do one or the other, we can always send it to purgatory, which is
the space between.
I got me.
And we'll start with Caroline.
I don't know who I am or who I've become, because I'm giving this a toast.
Whoa!
I was like really shocked at how much I enjoyed this. It had some actual LOLs for this man who I disagree with on like a lot of things. But I think I like really relate to him in like the deep rage he clearly feels all the time, like his society. And
Mark Lowry wakes up and chooses violence every day.
He does. Actually, he does. He chooses comedy to handle it. And I was like, yes, I agree. I also like to eat. I also like TV. You know, we're more alike than we are different. And for that reason, if I'm gonna toast myself, I gotta toast Mark.
Thank you, Caroline.
Remove the plank in your own eye before, right?
Exactly.
Before you, if you can't write yourself, you can't sit over here and judge Mark.
Point out Lowry Splinter. No, take the plank out of your own. Oh my Lord. Thank you.
Plank Eye. That was another Christian band that was big
plank
when I was
like, yes,
plank
that's
Eye
why.
Was the name. Oh
plank
my God.
Eye, not Plank Guy.
Oh, no, I heard it. I heard it.
Oh, yeah. I heard Plank
Still,
Guy.
Plank Guy.
I am Plank Guy. All right, we turn to Justin for his review.
I would have thought I would have given it a holy roast, but I think I'm going to go, I think I'm going to go with toast. Enough of it worked for me. Like, if you can ignore the fact that, like, obviously a lot of it is of a time, and a lot of it is, I mean,
not
what
cool.
is very, not, yeah, not cool at all. I do not endorse Mr. Lowry's, a lot of his words in here, but, I mean, a lot of it landed. The guy is like extremely charismatic. I mean, like an extremely accomplished performer in every respect, and a real entertainer, if you will. And I think it's very strange. It's of a time. It's very weird that it's an album. Shouldn't be an album. Just nope. Recording of a video. It's weird. But yeah, it's good.
Oh, a holy toast from Justin.
Wow, Kevin, what are you going to do?
I will, unfortunately, you know what? I think I'm giving a space between. I'm not making it a unanimous holy toast. I can't roast it.
Neutral space.
Yes, but maybe it is, you know, again, we've confronted this issue on the podcast before. Materially, is Mark Lowry doing anything different than what I do on Good Christian Fun? The answer is absolutely not. It is almost exactly the same. The content is different. The substance is different, obviously, exactly. But basically it's the same thing.
Man in the
Other
mirror.
Other than the content and substance, it's basically exactly the same thing. Much like the Declaration of Independence or a fish fillet sandwich. Other than the content and substance, it's exactly the same as your podcast. Much like a super yacht, it's just the same thing.
Same content.
Same content.
When we go Hyrie, he goes Lowry, and that's kind of his bag.
Oh my God.
But the hamminess, there's something about a certain kind of guy mugging in a certain kind of way of just like, I'm a little bit silly, and like confronting that in his music videos, i.e. looking into a mirror and not enjoying what I'm seeing.
I'm surprised I haven't seen you in a zoot suit yet, honestly.
It's only because it's not in season yet, but catch me summer, horny summer 2021 in my zoot suit. It's coming. Oh, gracious. Yes, but cannot be dismissed. I hope he finds peace if he's not at peace right now in his life. We wish him the best, I guess. And Justin, do you think we could get him on this show? Do you think we could interview him on Good Christian Fun?
I think you would have a fantastic time.
I think you would have a blast.
I think you would have a lot of fun, and maybe you could get a few more clues about where Mark is at vis-a-vis being like a good person or a bad person. I don't know. I think we pulled together all the relevant information that is out there. Apparently a private person, I guess, because he's not talking about his own personal, you know, unless it's in a sermon. You can hide anything in a sermon. Nobody's gonna listen.
Oh, yeah. You can say, I killed Laura Palmer in a sermon. No one's going to find you out.
It was me. I'm Bob.
Listeners, if you want to hear Mark Lowry on the show, bombard him in the comments of his Insta.
Yeah,
tag him on Twitter. And we'll go through the normal channels.
We'll do the work.
I mean, and we can say, listen, we've had Kirk Franklin on. You're the Kirk Franklin of Christian stand-up.
If
it's going to be a card,
no problem with that.
Will you promise me right now, if you do get him on the show, and you will, please ask him about my hat?
We 1,000% will.
We solemnly swear.
That is our promise to you. But listeners, now it's up to you. You can go to @ChristianFunPod and give him a roast or a toast yourself. So get out there and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We did it, Joe.
We can ask him about Kamala Harris and what he thinks of her and her...
The power of the vote.
And her tenure in Congress. Oh, gracious. Now we're bringing it down a little bit. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. The synthesizers are playing. And we're taking it to a more worshipful space. And Justin, we're not here to promote ourselves or our own projects to the folly of man. We're here to lift them up to the glory of God. And we start, as per usual, with Caroline Ailey.
Caroline, did you know that your baby tweets would someday influence thousands?
Yeah, she did. And you can support that work at Caroline's Farts online. I also want to lift up another podcast I've really been enjoying called You're Wrong About, which is a great show,
journalistic show.
Where they take like something you think you know the story of. For example, the Newsboys strike, or the one that I really liked was the Stanford Prison Experiment.
The Newsboys strike is when Phil Joel and Peter Furler wouldn't come to band practice.
Exactly. Yes. And, they go in depth on like a lot of the misconceptions people had about that. But anyway, I'd recommend that show. Check it out.
All righty. That's a great podcast. We'll turn it to Justin.
I just remembered that in band, in freshman year, I was really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to listen to Jesus Freak on my CD player, on my Discman.
Would that hide?
I would hide in the instrument closet.
Yeah.
And just turn that on and not feel so alone.
Oh, sweet boy.
I want to thank Decent Talk for that if they're listening.
Thank you.
Decent Christian Talk. Always appreciate
Decent
it.
Decent Christian Talk.
Decent Christian.
Did you all already talk? You mentioned In and of Itself earlier.
Yeah.
You
talked about that at length.
Do you
want to
lift
here?
That up? That's a good.
I watched it on Hulu last night. Hulu, yes. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful.
You know, it's not just, it's beautiful, but it's also it's a great show. I would describe it as, it's hard to describe. It's like a magic, it's like a one man show with magic in it, and it's about identity, mm-hmm. and it's very beautiful. I will say also, it's shot, directed by Frank Oz. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Miss Piggy himself. And he it's shot in such a way that really feels like you're there. Which for me, who has not been anywhere, much like everybody for the past year, it was actually very transportative to like darken the lights and like be virtually in a theater watching something. It like felt very nice.
I watched Tim Gunn cry.
Yeah.
Just you.
A little distracting that, huh? Just like drop Tim Gunn on me out of nowhere.
Tim
like
Gunn.
I'm not gonna.
Again,
I'm
Bill
very
Gates.
Into the show and then it's like,
Tim the best
Gunn
one.
Next to David
I'm
Blaine.
I'm in this space with Bill Gates.
The best one, though, I've said this before in private conversation. There is David Wayne from The State, from Wet Hot American Summer. You can see him crying his butt off at one point in the audience. And they don't cut to him like he's a celebrity. He just looks like a guy.
I didn't even notice
in the audience. It's very funny. Very funny. And people can lift you up at Justin McElroy and listen to your podcast. You're going to get the GCF bump this week. My Brother,
Welcome.
My Brother, Me, The Adventures.
You'll finally
Thank you.
Get
we
some
just
listeners.
Wrote a book about podcasting.
Yes.
It's called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. It came out in late January. So it's still only a few months completely outdated at the speed of podcasting moves. But if you want to get it, there's an audiobook too, which is like a long, expensive podcast.
Is chapter one be a celebrity and then have it a package deal with WME?
Be Anna Faris and work backwards from
and
there.
And hire your assistant to be your co-host.
Have bad boundaries with your personal assistant and air it out on broadcast every week. Terrific. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. You know, I have felt a great comfort in the pandemic by just listening to podcasts with acquaintances and friends of mine, and it does feel normalizing now that like we got over the Zoom hump and the FaceTime craze of the first couple months. Now it's like I just like listening to my friends on podcasts, and I've been loving listening to Jonathan Garbus, aka John Gabris, on his High and Mighty podcast. The last couple of months, it's been very comforting to me to hear that sweet man just talk to his sweet friends, and some of whom are distant acquaintances of mine, and that's been like a comforting thing. So if you're out there and you're looking for a little comfort in the night, tell your friends to start a podcast and then listen to it so you don't have to talk to them directly and really make an effort. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. Or you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is the Selah Homeless Neighborhood Coalition. Justin, thank you so much for joining us on the show,
thank
bud.
You, Justin.
It's been my genuine thrill.
What a
Thank
blast.
So
this was
me.
Such
Glad
a nice time.
To talk about Mark together.
Yes. We made a mark in podcasting today. and there's nothing left to say except for, and all of Pod's people said, Amen. Now, Justin, to go out today on the show, I want you to pick the artists that you want to hear their cover of Mary, Did You Know the most? And then we're going to play that as the outro for our podcast.
Oh, I try to find Dolly's. I'm sure it was great.
Ooh.
All right, here we go. This is Dolly Parton's
crack at it.
Mary, Did You Know?
Wow. Oh my God.
From Christmas on the Square, this is Dolly Parton.
Did you guys watch that on Netflix, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Absolute
Mary,
madness.
Did You Know?
Nuts.
That your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy
it's like
late
Dolly.
Late Dolly sounds like a woman who's about to tell you your destiny as she sees it in a crystal. Yep.
Oh, Lord, Caroline.
She knows where a lot of swords are, and your destiny is to find it, and she will draw you a path.
Yes, or curse you. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
We'll soon deliver you, Mary. Did you know that your baby boy will be...
That was a HeadGum Podcast.